I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Aussie Rugby Show in podcast form. If you're new to the setup, you can stay on top of and be a part of what's happening with the show simply by following Rugby Pass and the Aussie Rugby Show on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Enjoy.
Welcome to another episode of the Aussie Rugby Show, brought to you by Extra Hop Stops Breaches 84% faster.
So
I'm Louise Ransom, joined by Drew Hoilsey. Sean, once again. Sean.
Black's the theme. Before we get into it, I'm wearing black in... Well, I guess in memoriam of the result the other night. That's black as well that you've got on.
Navy.
Darker shade. But we have been brightened by being here at the Oaks, one of the best pubs in Sydney. We've got the Oak Tree behind us right now. The sports bar here is epic. The beer garden's amazing. The place to be to watch Bledisloe for, no question.
Absolutely. It's great, but actually, I won't go into why, but I got kicked out of here last time.
I like that you haven't told anyone that until now, until we're actually recording.
That's why I was the one who's going to organise this venue.
That's why you climbed up this back wing out to get in.
I know the ways in and out.
Do you want to share with us why you were kicked?
No.
Okay.
No.
Who were you actually, who were you kicked with?
Leave it there. Best not to say that either.
Snitch boy. Guys, what got you over the weekend?
Oh, Sean, you start.
You know what got me? Mm. The announcement that Aqua Rugby is going to be a thing next year. Aqua Rugby. Perched out off Manly Wharf on Sydney Harbour.
You've done a segment on that previously, haven't you?
Well, I'm going to get right into it, I think, over the next little bit. Five-a-side, floating pitch. Oh, it's going to be all time. They've done it in France.
In France, yeah. They do it over there, just outside La Rochelle.
Yeah,
it's
coming
an amazing day.
Can I ask,
will you wear your camo rashi that you bought? Once we went to...
And these?
You talked Sean into getting a camo rashi. The worst decision he's ever made from a clothing point of view.
No one could see me coming. None of the surfers, not even the waves or the sharks.
Hey, what got me, both club rugby, I'm going to talk about Sydney club rugby. Gordon, outstanding season. Mm. First time they won the premierships in 1998. That is a long time. Mahe, their hooker, outstanding. Mm. Just come to news now. He played 50 minutes of that game with three fractures in his hand.
Wow.
And a broken rib.
Will that affect his contract at the LA Galtinis?
There is no announced contract so far, Drew.
Oh, come on, look, mate.
If his hand were to heal in a short period of time, I'm sure he's...
I'd be getting him. He was awesome.
He's a good player.
A couple of things got me. Ben Mowen going back to play for his beloved East Tigers. East went 6 from 6 in the GF. Yep. A complete wipeout. The Tigers, he got to hold the shield as his last game. So good work for Benny Mowen. But the other thing that got me, I don't know if you guys saw it, but the gentleman who sang the anthem before
our
Australian anthem,
he
was incredible. And that note that he held at the end, I think it was amazing. It was probably one of the better renditions that I've heard. I've got to say, though, just quickly, when the broadcasters obviously go in, the player's perspective down on the ground is a little bit behind, you know, on TV. They're not that bad as singers. Like, the boys are pretty good. It just always seems a little bit out of sync. But I thought that guy that had the mic, he was excellent.
I was actually hoping that we were going to hear the Indigenous version of the anthem as well, which you've heard some cracking ones over the years, and they do
especially
both versions.
Like First Nations jersey.
Exactly right. Like, and that's, you know, New Zealand anthem has the Maori tongue and then it has the English speak, and I just would love us to get to that stage. But who do you think are the best anthem singers you've ever sung?
I just told you, mate.
Who?
What?
No, as a teammate.
Oh. Oh. So Kobe Kirby was good.
Yeah.
He was
really
good.
Yeah.
But he knew he was good and he held the notes a little bit too long, which started to annoy me a bit.
Yeah, big, powerful,
he had
bassy
like a real,
voice.
Like,
is that who you
baritone,
said?
Yeah, I always said,
you remember the time that the girl from Bardo sang it over in NZ? Like, talking about 15 years back? Disaster. I think she even knew the words.
Poison Ivy.
It wasn't great.
Lou?
What got you?
A little bit random. Did you see Obama just draining that three on the campaign
trail
for Biden?
Yeah, that's what I do. That's what
so good.
Wouldn't it be nice to have him there running again? Look, I don't actually even care. It's not even my country. But it seems like a lot of people want him back
there. I want him to get it going.
I mean, he can't go again, but anyway, it seems better than...
Should we talk politics for the next half?
Let's not.
It's probably better to talk about that than perhaps the result that we've just witnessed over on the weekend. Yeah.
Maybe. Well, Drew, unfortunately, we do have to talk about Bledisloe on the weekend. Bledisloe, Rocks and Diamonds. Start with Diamonds. What have we got?
I obviously spent a few days thinking about this. I just don't know if I can bring myself to find a diamond in that performance. There's obviously some moments where some players stood up and showed their class. Jordy Patai had a couple of good touches, but I just don't know if I could sit there and land on a diamond from that. I mean, it was a pretty convincing performance from the All Blacks, and I'm not going to give one of them a diamond. You might.
Well, I don't have a diamond from the Wallaby side of things, but I was really impressed with Mwanga at 10, and I think we have questioned why he's at 10 and Barrett at 15. That was probably the best performance I've seen them both playing an All Black jersey as 10 and 15. So I think he's a class player. I've just long thought that Bowden Barrett's a better number 10, and it just showed you why selectors of New Zealand rugby, you know, they spend more and more time with him, and he justified his selection the other night. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, if they put another couple of performances like they have in Bledisloe 2 and 3 together, in terms of the way that they're working in their attack, and it looks as though they're maybe positioning Bowden as a long-term 15.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just goes to show
that... Not even someone that can play 10.
You don't get to see everything. You really get to see anything when you're outside the inner sanctum, and that's why the selectors over there have just stuck solid with them. It didn't work in the World Cup, but... Looking like it's starting to work.
Well, it did work in the World Cup.
It didn't win him a World Cup.
It didn't win him a World Cup. That's a fair way of looking at it. Geez, they gave him some chances, though. That second try, he skirted short side, you're like, what is going on?
Yeah, we just lost the right winger, and we overcommitted.
Lou would have done on her ear.
That was a really disappointing part of the game.
That was not great.
Yeah. We're talking about our diamonds.
Sorry, mate. Sorry, I'll throw it back to you for a rock to sink in a second. My diamond was Rico Ioane, sticking strong with the put down.
Yeah, the one hand.
He just doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He's like, I don't care that I've cost my team a potential win in Wellington. Yeah. I'm going again.
Beautiful.
Admittedly, I'm up by 30. But the put down, he got up, dusted it off. It was pretty cool.
He's still drunk out of the cup afterwards,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, damn right he did. So that was my the diamond, the put down there, and threw the points up. There are plenty of points in the game, which is good as well.
You're on overs, obviously.
Don't bet. Yeah. And the rock, well, I don't really know where to start, but just the constant number of opportunities presented through them. And we spoke about it last week. Yeah. Let's not have the game gone by halftime.
Yeah.
That's all we wanted, to be there at halftime in Sydney in the fight. Our Sydney record is diabolical now.
Yeah.
It's so bad. I didn't realise how bad it was crunching numbers before. It is horrific in Sydney. So I suggest we don't play them there anymore. Do it at North Sydney Oval around the corner. We'll come back to the Oaks, no problem. and just the way that it all played out from there in the second half as well. Nothing worse than a gong show through 40 minutes.
Yeah, my rock is something very similar. Our inability to play in the wet is really highlighted. You saw it so early. We went three or four phases and then we went, oh, it's not working. We have to kick now. And we kicked on the back foot. You see the opposite. New Zealand, 1-2 phase, bang, good kick, great chase. They all knew what they were doing. And I see people over the last few days, they kick too much. We got to stop kicking. It was like we're crying out for people to kick it in the World Cup. That was our... We're just still not kicking well. So it's an issue we've got to continually work on.
Yeah, I mean, look, a rock for me is almost like we've lost the momentum that we were starting to pick up from those first two performances. And then everyone seemed to be, you know, getting back around the Wallabies. And then we have a performance like that, and the dialogue and the narrative on the socials is that, they can't put up with this for too much. Yeah. All that sort of stuff. But, I mean, further than that, I think our kicking was poor. Like, just our understanding of where and why and when we kick, right? Like, every one of those All Black kicks, we're kicking with purpose for an outcome, whether it be contestable, for territory, or to find space, or whatever. I mean, we weren't even finding touch in some of our kicks, or we kicked it dead from a penalty. Like, and there were times where we were just giving possession away 25 metres out from our own try line, putting a grubber through. Like, we've worked so hard. We heard about the stats about 67% of possession for the All Blacks in the first half. We get down there, and Noel Alessio just kicks it away. It's just not having that understanding of trying to kick for an outcome. Like, and again, all those sort of things about, you know, we kick too much or we don't kick enough, all that stuff. Kicking's fine and it's great and it has a place and it has a really strong place in the game if you're doing it with purpose, for a purpose and an outcome that everyone's on the same page. Like, there's no point if you're kicking in isolation.
Back to both your points around wet weather. We offloaded, I think, 14 times to their five. Ooh. So they see the rain bucketing down in monsoonal conditions that afternoon and go, you know what, tuck it under the wing, grab a few extra metres, we'll go from there. Yeah. Our blokes.
And I think that didn't, and this isn't an excuse, but it was a lot of it, we were chasing the game, so players went out there.
But there were a number in the first half eight that pushed them into that position.
You can never think about, you can't try and think, I need to offload here because I've got to start something. Like, offloads just happen, and they happen naturally to players who have that natural offloading ability. It's one of the unique things in sport is, oh, we need to have a better offload inside. The only way you can do that is to pick players who have a natural ability to offload. If you don't, then just tuck and get metres, as you said.
I also think sometimes it's the pressure that you feel. Like, Wallabies had pressure, they had to go out there and win that to keep it the series alive, whereas the All Blacks didn't. If the All Blacks looked as though they had the trust, they could just keep punching it up, not needing to force anything. They could just be patient, having the trust that they could, it'll come to them once they've earned the right. Whereas we were trying to force things, we were trying to sit there and make things happen before we actually, you know, got over the advantage line or drew the defensive systems in and then created opportunities. We were trying to create too much just with a miracle play, and then in those conditions, we saw too many of them go to ground.
I know that it was a government-backed thing that had the first Bledisloe for 10 years basically running straight to be held in Sydney. When that comes to a close, which is surely quite soon, where would you have the first Bledisloe if we can have first wing?
Well, if you do Sydney, what were you going to say?
I was going to say Suncorp. So the series is, you know, good record up there. Series is still alive as long as possible.
I also believe they're just really good supporters in Brisbane as well. Like Sydney, there's so much on. We've heard so many
Kiwi fans there.
That's the
I thought I was at in Eden Park.
Yeah, but also, there wasn't a great crowd either. Mm. And a lot of that is because we normally get such a good travelling New Zealand crowd to Bledisloe.
And also the fact that it was hailing earlier on in the day. Yeah. You know, like weather had something to do with it. But maybe the Kiwi supporters were happier to sit in those conditions because they're used to it. Because I found it tough to be out there and sitting. I had to find some cover and get under some
try
shelter.
Try and find some Ugg boots.
Yeah.
Big rocks, big diamonds.
Yeah.
Time for the Extra Hot Play of the Week. Sean, what have we got?
Before we quickly get into this, I spent some time with the Extra Hot crew and some of their wholesalers and disties and resellers
last Friday.
Or
just in like a little pub or?
No, they know how to do it in style, that crew. Great people.
Where'd you go?
Super yacht. Hard to say.
I prefer not to say. It was a big yacht.
There was no yachts. It was me and a tinny with my icebox. anyway, so again, back to the whole thing, stopping breaches, shutting it down. Yep. None did it better at the weekend than Jay Barrett or Mariki Corabini. Guys, the game's done and dusted. It's finito. Look at the scoreline. You think that's going to stop Jordy Barrett getting across in cover on Marika Corabidi? Boom.
Yeah.
In a touch.
And, I mean, just shows, like, how much it means to them, wanting to make sure that no one breaches their line or...
Jay Barrett, stopping breaches.
And
like
Marika, let's be honest, like, he normally, 99 out of 100, he gets that. That
just
was
getting
quality.
Through there.
Yep.
Mm. Well, breach.
It was a quality
stop of a breach.
Beautifully.
Like extra
you're doing it great. There is your Extra Hot Play of the Week.
Well, guys, it's time for the check-in this week. We're going to talk to Wallabies scrum half Nick White. Nick, great to see you. Mate, what's happening with your noggin there? It's copped an absolute thrashing the last few weeks.
It has, yeah. Copped a stray boot in the first game, and then I broke my nose in training before Auckland, and then, copped another stray boot on the weekend. So, yeah, the noggin's copping it. But that's part and parcel, I guess.
Don't worry, mate. You're still cute as a button. A big part of that is that moustache that you've got. We're now in the first week of November. Are you going to get involved with Movember? And if so, are you going to shave it off and start again?
No, I won't shave it off. But I'll, if I'm allowed to bend the rules a little, I'll set up an account like I've done the last couple of years. And, you know, any money's, Movember's a great cause, so if they'll let me bend the rules, I won't be shaving up and starting again, because I've had this for a few years now, so I'd like to keep it. It bridges the gap between my lips and nose. And
and to be fair, it's taking a lot of attention off that forehead at the moment, Whitey, so keep it up. Hey, tough game on the weekend, like a tough result. There's been plenty of negative feedback. I want to know about your time in Exeter and that what you learn of terms of playing set piece and territory with kicking game, and where you think Australian rugby sits with that side of the game at the moment.
Yeah, I think I learned a lot from my time overseas. And I think patience is probably a word you probably used the last couple of weeks, and something we're going to have to get used to that Test rugby, is exactly that. It's Test rugby, and it's a bit of an arm wrestle. And I think from my time up north, teams are probably a little better at kind of playing that kind of arm wrestle type rugby. And I guess on the weekend, we didn't make the All Blacks really work hard for their points on the weekend. We made far too many errors. We didn't win that kick battle and win the territory game in order to then get into winning the possession game. So, it's a bit of a snowball effect. And I think, while there's extremely good intentions there with a lot of what we're trying to do, I think a lot of it's pretty loose and stuff we can fix. But, I think when you're coming up against the best side in the world, you've got to respect that and, play probably a little, like you said, a more of a set piece type game, get in the arm wrestle and do what I guess what they did to us on the weekend. They forced us to make mistakes, and if we can clean those up and get into that arm wrestle and see maybe if we put the blowtorch on them a little, if they make mistakes. So it's extremely disappointing, I'm not gonna lie. The result on the weekend, it hurt a lot. But there's areas in there that I think we can learn from and make sure we learn from them, and we'll be better next time.
Whitey, you've been around forever now. How hard is it going through a video review session following a game like that on Saturday night?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, bloody tough. We spoke about it after the game. As a group, stood there tight and made sure we watched them lift the trophy one more, again. And that we take the time to acknowledge how we feel about it and how much it hurts. And, then you go into review. Monday, it doesn't get any easier. I think probably what hurt us on the weekend was a lot of the things we said we were going to do, we didn't do it. And I guess that's the really frustrating thing, is a little bit like what we touched on before. If we get into doing the basics well and tighten up our game a little, and then maybe we can, kind of put a bit of that pressure onto the All Blacks and see if, see what happens and see if we can make a bit of a game of it. I thought on the weekend we just gifted them, territory possession and made life hard for ourselves and really, really easy for them. And we caught them on a night where they were extremely clinical. They seemed to everything stuck for them. But it's going to be that way when you're giving them those easy opportunities.
All right, mate, moving on from that, what's the message to the Wallaby fans? We just want to obviously get around you guys. We've got another big game this weekend. What's the message to the fans to really get everyone behind you guys and will you to a big finish in this Bledisloe, but also knowing this Rugby Championship is only one game underway?
Yeah, I guess, we've felt that over the last few weeks that we've got, we've got 25 million people that want to believe in what we're doing and really want to support us, and we can feel that. And I can tell you guys that we want to do well for you. We want to do yous proud. We're working extremely hard to make sure we turn things around. On the weekend wasn't good enough, but like I said, we're working extremely hard to turn that around. And it's a young group here. And that, I know a lot of people don't want to hear it, but, stick with us. And, certainly the feeling in the group is that good times are coming, we're working hard, and we're going to turn the tide. And, you know, like I've always said, if you work hard, eventually the tide will turn, and we're working bloody hard here, so stick with us.
Yeah, we'll all be supporting you. There's no doubt about that. Nick White, thanks so much for your time here on the Aussie Rugby Show. And guys, there's still plenty of tickets left for the Suncorp test. If you go to ticketek.com.au, get your hands on that. Go and support the boys, like Whitey said.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Well, great to talk to Nick White there. Guys, what needs to happen? What needs to change between these two Bledisloe tests?
Look, a big area of concern for me was the backfield coverage, positioning, understanding of role, all that sort of stuff, and personnel as well. I think Noel Alessio was playing, or defending at least, for long periods of the game at fullback. He's never been there in his life, and it looked like that when Bowden Barrett saw an opportunity, because Nick White made a tackle earlier in that phase. He was tied up. Richard Mwong is a little bit further out. Bowden puts that chip over.
Yeah.
Noah, you could see from the head on, sort of almost from behind him, that footage. Like he didn't know whether to rush or to stay back, and it was like he was in between. Those types of things. Just if you pick a man wearing number 10, defend him at number 10. And if not, pick people that can play there.
Like, he did a decent job defending number 10 for the Brumbies we've seen this year.
A big issue for me is in Australian Super Rugby, we defend four different ways or five different ways, and every different team they do it differently. New Zealand, they have a one system that comes down. They defend the same way in every provincial team. So when they go into the All Blacks, the only thing that changes is the calls of the system. The actual system itself is the same. So they go there and they don't have to spend time learning something new. Whereas it looked like our guys are learning something new on the weekend.
Just think about the young guys. Test debut last week, he gets told you're playing against the All Blacks, the Bledisloe Cup is up for grabs. You're playing 10, so you're the quarterback, but you've got to defend in a position you haven't been in for, you know, what we know, probably 3 years at the very, maybe not ever.
I remember when Gitz used to get pushed back to 10, because it became a trend about, I don't know, like 10 years ago or something, where you just put the 10 in the backfield, and Gitz would say, mate, talk to me because I have no idea what I'm doing back here.
It started around when Quade
around that time, right? So, and Gitz would say to me, he goes, mate, I've got no idea where to stand or what to do back here, so just talk to me because, you know, as a winger or fullback, like I've been there a bit. But that's the sort of mentality that these players have. They're so familiar and comfortable in those positions up front in the front line, which I would be foreign to, whereas in the backfield, it's completely opposite, and yet you're trying to do it against one of the best teams in the world.
Yeah, look, I would say one of the big areas that needs to improve, I mentioned it before, we need to kick with purpose. We need to kick on the front foot, and our kick chase line needs to be perfect, because if you kick wrong and you've got a good chase line, you can solve it. But if you kick poorly and you don't have a good kick chase line, you get carved up. So the reality is people sitting home saying, don't kick it, run the ball. It doesn't work. New Zealand are one of the highest kicking teams in world rugby. The Crusaders are one of the highest kicking teams in Super Rugby. We just need to kick better.
And chase is just enthusiasm and discipline, isn't it? I mean, there's no skill to running in a straight line.
But it is also knowing you chase better when you know where and when you're kicking from. So if you're on the ruck and you know that we're meant to kick now, as opposed to get up and go, oh, we've kicked it. So then your action time is a bit behind. Gotcha. So you need to know what's happening.
Do they need to be more patient in how they approach
it? Yeah, and that was scoreboard pressure last week. The lack of the number of offloads and the lack of successful offloads. We've got a couple of players in that side that can offload. Harry Wilson's a good example, but you can't push that stuff, Lou.
The other thing that Nick White said was, I know we've got a young team and people don't want to hear that, but weirdly, that's what everyone was calling for 12 months ago, right? And all of a sudden, we're not getting those results just in these first three test matches. And everyone's like, oh, you know, like it's doomsday and all this. I'm like, everyone was calling for this new generation. Yeah. Everyone, like, you know, and then all of a sudden, they expect the results to come three games into a new era. Like,
and starting against New Zealand as well, like, I know COVID's affected things, when how much we all love COVID. I would like to think we could organise a warm-up game against Cyprus or someone like that, just to get the confidence up.
I know.
So you're not facing the second-best team in the world.
And also a 10-12 fresh combo isn't ideal. Like, it's that tough, doesn't, you know, that doesn't,
I mean, it was unfortunate that James got injured. I think they obviously needed to know they had to plug the 12 position because Tamura was out, and then late James got injured, so you had debutants starting at 10 and 12, which isn't ideal, but I think James O'Connor will be back this week, and then it's just a matter of who you play at 12.
Time for the bounce back, Lou. Time for the bounce back.
New segment this week. I'm excited about this one. Comments Corner. Shawnee, what is this about?
I've been trolling. I mean, we know that we should never read the comments, particularly on YouTube.
But these
are all YouTube-derived comments, just for a bit of a laugh, to know that people are watching and keep them coming in, because there are a lot of really fun ones and a lot of positivity, remarkably, coming from New Zealand.
But also,
as well,
it must be said, some hurt my feelings.
Well, I'm going to, you know, the old crazy form.
feelings.
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
There's a praise informed praise situation coming up here. This is from Jade Tizzle. I need to have a beer with Drew. He's fun and tells great stories. Hit me up when you're in Perth for a little visit.
Okay, Jade Tizzle.
Conversely, Ian College says, why is James Corden sitting next to Louise Ransom? When does carpool karaoke...
Why are you laughing?
When does carpool karaoke start?
Smithy.
No.
Shaman loves Stacey. That's it.
What's the guy's name?
Ian Coolidge.
Ian Coolidge, thinking he's a little keyboard warrior, gets away with another... F*** you, Ian.
Sorry, Ian, I take that back. I'll come back to it. There's another
Wait,
one.
Tell me how I got the name wrong.
Praise, inform, praise. There's another one coming. This one from Taylor Brown. This one from Taylor Brown just a couple of days ago. Drew Mitchell is a legend. Took the time to have a brief chat to me at my pub on Sunday. What a genuinely nice guy. That is nice.
I've seen 10 comments from 10 different pubs on Sunday that Drew had a game of time for me.
Wait, there's got to be another one coming.
No, that's good.
Whack me in the guts. Lou's still going on about James Corden.
There are so many that absolutely adore you and they say Lou's the best and
AK,
all that sort of
AK
stuff,
loves
which we
Lou.
Agree. We all obviously agree on. Dominic M, not such a great fan of the show. This show is a joke. The commentators don't ever discuss other teams. Australians are so myopic. Evidently, Dominic, you didn't read the title. It is the Aussie Rugby Show, you muppet.
More like Dominic, not Dominic.
The idiocy of all of them betting on Australia to win. This bloke played 70 tests. This bloke 20. Who do you think they're going to tip, Dominic? Anyway... It should take it seriously and have a more divergent opinion around who's likely to win. Well, that's not going to happen anyway. Yeah. So there's just three.
Just don't bet on our tips. Yeah. Like if you're relying on us for winning your bets, then you shouldn't be betting.
And if you're watching Ian, we apologise.
Yeah,
of course. Really they've got your name mixed up with someone else there. But
whoever it was
coming.
That said that James Corden thing, fuck you.
Keep
my feelings.
Keep them coming. Keep the comments rolling in on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, wherever you're watching the Aussie Rugby Show.
Let's dive into the Aussie Rugby Show mailbag. This one is a good one. A few good ones this week, guys. Gordon Roger Burns wants to know, after Shawnee dropped Brian O'Driscoll's name last week, which one of you has the most famous person on their phone?
Oh,
Oilsy?
Good one.
I think this question's directed at you, Drew. I don't have anyone famous on my phone, either to Sean. I know that because he's got hardly anyone on his phone.
Brian O'Driscoll. Look, maybe like Johnny Wilkinson, a couple of rugby type. Look, I'm a bit of a muso, like you know, so I've got a couple of people in the Australian music scene, Delta Goodrum, Pete Murray.
Funny about that.
Yep.
Why is that funny?
Yep. Yeah. No, good. Excellent. There you go.
Sean?
I'm just listening to Delta. Next.
I wondered what you're doing. Do I get to answer that question?
Go, Lou. Yeah, sure.
Patty Mills and Tim Cahill.
Done.
Oh, yeah,
they're
yeah.
Little sport, really, you know.
Yeah, yeah, but that's good.
Timmy Carr, good one.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Okay, this one from David or Chickzilla on Twitter.
Oh, no.
It's the chicken.
I love the chicken man.
So,
chicken.
Wants to know, Karevi, Skelton, McMahon, Arnold and Fardy up there with the best Australian players, yet they're not playing for Australia. Does this sound stupid to anyone else? Hashtag Ghetto Law thoughts.
It does, and I think in the ideal world, we've already seen a change to the rules with two players overseas. But
which we haven't acted on.
Yeah, we haven't acted on it. It's probably not the right year to be able to do this, just with someone having to sit in quarantine. But, yeah, I think the way it's going at the moment, we need to be modern with how we approach that.
I've always said every representative team you've selected for growing up is always the best available. Except for the national team. There are players that are eligible for Australia or who are Australian playing overseas that aren't being picked. I always think that everyone should be available. And I think that the sound of that sounds more daunting than it actually is. I don't think it's going to be 30 players from overseas being picked for this current Wallaby group. It'll be maybe four or five people like Chickzilla just said there. So it's not a huge number. It's just a few people in key positions.
Difference-making.
But from what we know, there's also a couple of players that are saying, yeah, I want to do it, but the year after the World Cup isn't the year I want to do it. I want to do it the year before
maybe
the World
perhaps
Cup.
Just a bit more transparency from both parties, right?
Okay, how many VBs, this is from Jamie Spragg, how many VBs should we drink on Saturday afternoon to convince ourselves the Wallabies are a chance in Game 4? Great question.
To be able to convince yourself and still have memories of the actual game.
Preface drink responsibly.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. We're all different. Like, you know, yeah. I've seen Sean drink a carton before he commentates a game and you wouldn't know it at all.
Whereas I'm like one, two, Sean six, maybe.
I think you should at least get a carton online, BWS. Hashtag Taz, BB, whatever.
Free delivery. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
6 to 25.
It's a great question.
Anyway, from 6 to 25.
I tell you what, if they win at the weekend, I'll empty an icebox.
Yeah.
And I won't be here on Tuesday. Next question.
Drink responsibly.
Yeah, that's what I was implying. That's all I need. That's it. Speaking of, though, if you're in Sydney looking for somewhere to come and watch a game on the weekend,
here.
The Oaks is the place to be. Yep. Neutral Bay. Yep. Easy to get to. You guys came from the eastern suburbs. I came from Northern Beaches. Blue, no dramas. Great
no
spot.
Dramas
Thanks,
at
Andrew
all.
And the crew for having us. Mm.
Guys, that's the show.
That's it.
Mm. For this week at this beautiful venue. Drew, Hoylesy, Shawnee, thank you so much.
Come on, Wallabies.
Thanks, Lou.
Come on, dude. Get in there.
That's it. Don't forget to subscribe to stay on top of the show with new episodes dropping each week. And remember, if moving pictures are more your thing, you can catch the show at rugbypass.com or via the Aussie Rugby Show on YouTube. Like, follow, subscribe, tell your friends, your uncle, you know the drill. See you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.